Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It's Monday, June 14th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. I hope everybody listening had a fantastic weekend. I sure did. It was really all about the NCAA Baseball Super Regionals. Did you happen to see the crowd in Knoxville, Tennessee? Imagine what that fan base is going to do one day if Tennessee football ever returns to glory. There was also a ton of football on my Twitter timeline, like our recruiting team down in Florida for the Under Armour Future 50. Check out the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast this week for more from that. And there were also several big-time visitor weekends across college football, such as Arch Manning's trip to Texas, the 2023 QB. Checked out the Longhorns a week after he checked out Clemson. You got to think it's those two in Alabama really at the top for the best QB in the class of 2023 and perhaps the most followed recruit in the history of recruiting. I was so inspired by all the football on my timeline that I drove over to Vanderbilt for the Commodores football camp. It was fun to see former 24/7 Sports co-worker, colleague Barton Simmons jogging around from station to station and running the show as he does now for Vanderbilt football's recruiting and roster operation. Today on the podcast, we're going to bring on 24/7 Sports national analyst Bud Elliott to talk about his annual blue chip ratio study, which is going live today on 247sports.com. Blue chip ratio, what is it? Bud analyzes college football's rosters, the top rosters, to see which teams are made up of at least 50% blue chips, i.e. 4- and 5-star recruits, with that 50% threshold being the cutoff, he believes, and the data shows, to actually win a national championship. So basically, are you talented enough to win one? If you're a team like North Carolina, the answer might surprise you. And the top of the college football hierarchy is accurately reflected here. Alabama has a roster comprised of 84% blue chips. And just to note, when we were recording a few days ago, we had the number of Alabama's blue chip at 85, but a second once over of the data nudged it down to 84. Same difference, best ever. And the tied are followed by Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson. Bud joins us right now to talk about his takeaways from blue chip ratio, which teams fell out and which joined the 50% club, how transfers will one day soon be incorporated here, and what a likely 12-team playoff will mean for his perfect streak.
Okay, Bud Elliott joins us right now. Bud, I think anyone listening to this episode probably knows what the blue chip ratio is, and I've explained it in the introduction and your article online at 24/7 Sports. We'll do the same. Could you just tell us, though, like when you hatched this idea and the undertaking, and it's very popular.
Yeah, so I was working in another outlet back in, I think, 2010-ish, and I was playing around with it, and I was, you know, backfitting the data and trying to make sure we had quality data to work with. And I think I first published it in 2012 or 2013. Basically, the idea here is, what is the minimum recruiting threshold you need to clear to win a national title? It's not a guarantee you'll win a national title. Hell, it's not even a guarantee that you will make the playoff or that you won't get fired. But every team that we can reliably track that has won a national title has signed more 4- and 5-star recruits than 2- and 3-star recruits over the prior cycle. So I'm just looking at the percentage of your recruits you signed in that period over those last 4 cycles that are over 50%.
You've never been stumped yet, right? Like your dad is, we haven't had a non 50% blue chip ratio team win it, obviously.
Correct. We came close. Mariota almost got me. And then Deshaun and the first Clemson team, I think they were like 48 or 49%. And he almost clipped me. So I'm not going to claim that this will never be broken. I think eventually it will. And you can take a really special quarterback and a team that is on the upswing in recruiting, but just not quite there yet over the last 4 years. And maybe the kids they signed really recently are super special. It's possible that the streak will end at some point, but it's a pretty reliable and very inclusive, you know, metric. I mean, we're talking about 16 teams this year.
Yeah, that's among the new storylines, I would imagine it's incorporating transfers. I know that was probably just an absolute bear for you. What else was different about this year?
So I'm considering incorporating transfers in sort of like an updated edition closer to the season. I've been playing around with it, and there's a couple things that I find are problematic. Number one, in many cases, we don't really have clarity on whether these players are walk-ons. And I only use scholarship player data for this, right? We have a lot of people in the transfer portal who are transferring from one school to another, and they get a grade, obviously, but there's not a scholarship being used on them. We know of a lot of cases where kids are transferring, and instead of dropping down a level to save face, they're going to go ahead and go walk on at a P5 to basically avoid embarrassment that they transferred and maybe weren't quite as desirable as they thought they might have been, or maybe there's a promise of a future scholarship on the down low from a school. I think once all the transfers are done for the year, I am going to try to play around with it, work with our publishers even more. We know that the deadline to actually play this fall is coming up in about, a month-ish? So when that comes out, I do want to play with it more and just kind of do a test run with transfers. But for now, I want to focus on the true building blocks of recruiting, which is, high school, junior college, that type of stuff.
Gotcha. And when I'm looking at this, Alabama 85, you're telling me that's the highest you've ever had.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about all they lost. Stupid.
Right. Yeah. So Alabama, 85% blue chips. I mean, they signed like 100 kids the last 4 years and they have 85 total blue chips in it. That's outrageous. They were also the first team ever to be above 80% a couple of years ago. They just keep climbing. Imagine how special you have to be a three-star that Alabama actually takes if you're not a kicker or a punter.
Well, I was just thinking what? I'm surprised at this point they're even taking them. I know they are, but I think that trend is going to keep going up, bud. I mean,
I would agree.
85? Like, I'm looking at last year's. Alabama was number one for blue chip last year at 83. Georgia was number two at 82, and Ohio State was number three at 80. And it's Ohio State dropped a point. That makes sense. Think about what they lost. And Georgia dropped two. But these numbers are, I mean, this is just silly. I'm looking at this, and it is, with the exception of maybe Texas at 66%, it's never been more clear, who's the true kings of college football.
Yeah, and the real thing is you can have a special recruiting class. Can you stack four in a row or three really, really good ones and then, one decent one to get on this list and especially to get up top on this list? I think one thing I'm always interested in is people say, hey, this list should not be this big. And I understand what they're saying from that perspective because, 2013 or 2014, we had the oversigning rules pass. And just because teams no longer could sign 30 or 35 guys like old school Houston Nutt at Ole Miss, the denominator is a little bit lower, right? So you're not stashing all these guys and signing and placing quite as many dudes. So a lot of the percentages shot up a little bit just back then. But we have seen teams like, the Clemson Tigers, when they finally won it, they were barely over the threshold. So I do think you'd be kind of silly to argue that being higher on this list doesn't help you, but to me, it's sort of kind of a minimum threshold to clear. I don't know that you're exponentially more likely to win it all if you're at the very, very top of this. But I mean, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson at the top is, as somebody who does this and I don't rig it, that makes me feel pretty good.
And Clemson jumped from 63% last year to 67. Texas A&M, but last year was at 50%. And the Aggies now are at 61%. I mean, wow.
It's been the last two classes for them, really, right? So in 20, they signed, 26 kids and 16 were blue chips. Last year, I think it was 22 and 16. And once that, once that 2018 class rotates off, they're going to probably go up even more, assuming that they sign a good class this year, which I really have no reason to expect they wouldn't. A&M has been a team that, under Kevin Sumlin, they were routinely, I think if I recall, between that 45 and 55% range. So they were always kind of right there. They're not quite the Cinderella story, but I think Jimbo Fisher is doing a good job of maximizing their resources in a way that someone never really got to.
So Washington, Washington, we profiled them and gave them love last week on the development rating by Chris Hummer. And they've done, from 2012 to 2016, did a good job of turning their elite recruits into NFL draft picks. This year, it's a reflection on how they've been recruiting recently, which is, I think, a little bit surprising with Jimmy Lake renowned as a good recruiter. They've dropped below the threshold to 49%.
Yeah, and I was wrong about Jimmy Lake. I thought he would be a better recruiter than he's been. I thought, okay, he might connect with kids a little better than Chris Peterson. They might do a better job, but I mean, let's be honest here. They really blew a major opportunity with the 2021 recruiting class to keep all those kids in state, or at least some of those kids in state, and what was kind of a historic year for the state of Washington. They weren't able to keep many of those kids home, and I'm sure they're going to get, OKGs, our kind of guys. But I thought Washington was going to take a little bit of a step forward, and instead they just haven't. Their recruiting has not been dynamic.
You had a feeling last year, I'm reading last year's story, that Miami was going to make a jump into the 50% threshold. They sure did, 55%. Did you think Oregon would as well, Bud? They're at 56%. I know the Ducks were not happy at all with their development rating score. And I remember last year they were upset with you too. So this should make them feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I thought Oregon was either one or two classes away. If they really hit the 2021 class out of the park, which they pretty clearly did, they could make the jump. Or if they just did a good job, I thought it would take two more merely good classes. But they're a team, in my estimation, that's going to rise even higher, because Trey, a lot of this work has been pretty recent by them. In 2018, they were only 11 of 23. 2019, 12 of 25. They were 10 of 22. Last year, they just went nuts. If they just merely recruit at even a little bit step back from what they did last year, they're going to be a team that's going to be pushing 60.
Do we have any idea what, if you don't know it, that's fine. But Tennessee at 48%, I think that's better than I thought it would be. But the one that's concerning me here under 50% is North Carolina at 35%. Like, they've gotten a lot of love and a lot of offseason hype, but then now it started to be backlash against the hype, right? Like, I'm going to zig while everyone else is zagging and say, hey, I think we're overblowing their chances. When I look at 35%, I am a little bit bearish on the Tar Heels actually doing it this year.
I can agree with you on that to some extent, but I will say, I think a lot of the guys who, blue chip ratio is not a perfect measure. A decent number of the guys who would be holding this down, who were in those 2018 and 2019 classes, are off the roster. The last two classes they've signed have been much better. And if you look at this, the one way that teams beat me on this to the upside, now the way they beat them to the downside is typically injuries or attrition or coaching changes, but the way they outperform this is usually quarterback. And whether you think Sam Howell is a first rounder or like a third rounder or whatever, I think we all agree he's at least a rounder, right? He's going to be an NFL quarterback. And that is easily a way that you can overcome maybe not being in the 50% club. Do I think they'll win a national title? No, but I read Inside Carolina a lot. I follow them pretty closely. I think they have impact players across the board on the defensive line now who were a little too young last year. They have the quarterback. I'm confident they'll score points. And they're the only team, Trey, between the 47% mark and the 29% mark. Like, there's not a whole lot of teams that are two classes away from making a jump here, except maybe them.
Whoa. Is there anyone at the 29% mark or below that's kind of scaring you right now? It's like, no. Oh, they could get me.
It's all teams that were at that mark 4 or 5 years ago that were on the cusp. So South Carolina, when Muschamp was really recruiting well, they were in the 30s, high 30s a couple of years. Honestly, in my opinion, the early signing period has crippled Stanford's recruiting. Stanford was a blue chip ratio team, I think 1 year, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Mississippi State, never going to get there. Arizona State, never going to get there. Nebraska, no shot. Ole Miss at 23% is interesting, but you got to remember, they just did not bring in much talent in 2018 and 2019. And those are going to be your juniors and seniors for the Rebels roster this year. If Ole Miss is going to overperform, they really have got to have their young kids play really well or somehow beat the recruiting rankings by a lot with their upperclassmen.
I think you saying Ole Miss is at 23% speaks to how difficult it is for an Alabama to beat 85%. And that's just crazy. And now I'm imagining that Iowa State's in the teens, because Ole Miss isn't like a massive slouch on the recruiting trail.
Iowa State, to be honest, just eyeballing it, is not high enough to track.
Stars. No, they have two four-stars.
Like, I started tracking Wisconsin when they started signing multiple four-stars in 2019, and they just got up to 19%. And Wisconsin has had the best two recruiting classes in its history in back-to-back years, and that got them all the way to 19%.
That's crazy. Bud, last question. We're recording this on the day of the reported likelihood of a playoff expanding to 12. Does that make you worried that in a few years you're going to get stumped here on the blue chip ratio? We're going to have a sub 50% team make it and go on a little Cinderella run. That feels like the only way it's ever going to happen.
I thought about it, but we've only seen more blue chip dominance with the playoff. And I think it's because it's like betting parlays. You have to win two games in a row, or in this case, you're going to have to win three games in a row if you're a Cinderella against teams that are probably a lot better than you talent wise. And it just makes it more unlikely. I actually think the BCS, if you could ever get a team in, the chance that you win in a one-off, right? A Boise upsets in Oklahoma or something like that. It's much easier to get an opportunity to do so now, but I think it's harder to actually cash in on the opportunity.
Bud, I could talk about this all day, but it's a 15 to 20 minute podcast. So we're going to let you go. We appreciate it.
All right, Trev, be well.
Good stuff from Bud. Go check out Blue Chip Ratio on 24/7 Sports. The Comet will be featured on the front page all day. Have a great Monday. Enjoy it. For our producer, Lance Glenn, I'm Trey Scott. We'll talk to you on Tuesday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.